Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing things that make me go, wow. Now, in my entire life, I have attempted to use that whole instrument thing, that music gene, and I failed plenty of times with the triangle or the guitar or even the flute. But my guest today makes music her passion. Not only that, she is an airman, or a senior airman, excuse me, of the United States Air Force. Please welcome Elisa Cancel to the show. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's Monday as we record this, but it's a good Monday, you know? Sun's out, right? Monday. All that jazz.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, spring is in the air. Can I just ask, what is like the best thing about spring for you? Are you a spring person? Are you team summer? What's the vibe?
Oh, that's a very good question. I tend to love the different seasons for the different good things that they have. I do love the spring. I love seeing everything turn green again and bloom again. Actually, this is my first full year of seasons in California. And I was not used to seeing green in January. So that was new. But yeah, I love seeing all the flowers blooming. I'm a sucker for that.
So. Are you from a winter city? Can I say that?
I am. Like... I'm from upstate New York.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm from the Hudson Valley. So... yeah, all of the seasons were very, very typical. The January was very brown and very dead. So, yeah. The spring blooming was always a wonderful time of year.
Yeah, go Renegades. They're out there. That's awesome. I'm a big baseball guy. I'm a total nerd when it comes to that. Oh. And I'm from Brooklyn, but I made it to Cooperstown for the first time this year. And upstate New York is so picturesque. So cold, but so picturesque. It's really nice.
Agreed.
Yeah, can I ask you the big question first? What made you decide to join the Air Force? I mean, there's so many branches in the military within, but like, what made you go like, this is like the branch for me?
Oh, well, I come from an Air Force family. My dad is a retired maintainer. And so I grew up watching him work on planes and like the really big ones. He worked on C-5s. So I grew up, when we had visitors, we'd bring them to the base and we would show them the cool planes that he worked on, the giant planes that could fit school buses, and, you know, all the cool fun facts about the planes.
Yeah.
And I used to think he was larger than life, like he did a thing that I would never be able to do. But I always thought I could picture myself being in the military community because I grew up in it. And it was a huge part of my family. As I got older, I went to school. I went to college for music education. And while I was in school, I saw the U.S. Air Force band that is in Washington, D.C. I saw them perform, and that was the first time I even knew that the band career field existed. Even my dad, who was a career airman, had no idea. And I saw this concert, and I watched the conductor conduct this incredible concert band and then turn around and say, everyone on this stage is an airman. We Wow. all auditioned for this job. We all went through boot camp. We went through the whole enlistment process like everyone else. And then we get to do music as our job and represent Sure. the Air Force and be airmen. And I thought, I don't think I could do what my dad did, but I Right. think I could do that.
Yeah.
So it married two of the things that I love the most, which are music and performing and serving my country and being part of this community that I love and admire. So
fantastic. Can you walk me through the time you saw the show in DC? Was it kind of like a, hey, what's going in there? And like, oh, my mind is officially blown. Or was it kind of like someone's like, oh, man, check us out. The show is hot ticket. Tell a friend about it. Like, what was going through your mind the day of?
The day of, actually, I was coming home from college on a break, like a fall break or something. And my younger brother was in high school at the time, and he was in the junior ROTC. And he called me and said, I'm going to be ushering a concert at the high school this weekend, and maybe you want to go. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, what is it? And he said, it's the Air Force band. And so I thought, What does that even mean? So the day of, I actually was traveling from college back home to be on break for a little while, and thinking all I was going to my old high school for was to support my brother, who was going to be doing an honor guard kind of thing for some random Air Force band concert. Yeah. So I thought that was the only reason I was going, was to watch my brother, actually. And then I got there and realized it was a whole production. It was the concert band, the singing sergeants. They were showcasing all of their capabilities and talking about what they do. And I was blown away. Totally blindsided by that.
I mean, I wasn't there, but I can imagine there was a Wild Blue Yonder remix of Lil Wayne on the beat. No, I'm totally kidding. Must have been a sliding doors moment, though. I mean, if that concert didn't happen, did you have an idea what you were going to do if it didn't exist, that path didn't exist?
Absolutely. I was on a track for music education. My specialty was in general music, K-5, as well as just a choral concentration. So my passion is my passion was teaching choir. And when I did my student teaching, I did get to experience teaching choir in high school, and also teaching general music to elementary school kids, and I absolutely fell in love with both. So yeah. I thought I could do all of it. I want to do all of it. And so that's what my focus was at the time. And even after I saw that concert, I thought that was a really nice thing to see, and like it would be kind of cool to think about maybe getting a job like that, but I don't think I can. I don't know that I have what it takes. And I don't want to waste time, you know, when I could just go into teaching.
Sure.
And then my mom went behind my back and signed me up for audition updates. So when I started receiving audition emails saying, hey, this audition is coming up, I hadn't signed up for that. But I did start getting those updates, and I thought, Mom? You know, do you know about this? And
she's like,
I think you should just keep track of it, just in case. And, you know, moms are oftentimes right. So
shout out to moms.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned that that you do basic training once you enlist. And once you pass that, you go basically right into your assignment. Like, you don't really, there's no like music school stop in other branches of the military, because mm-hmm. you already are a trained musician.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes the front end of the process a lot more rigorous and competitive. The getting an audition, it's very, very competitive, and they're looking for a high level of musicianship already, not necessarily high level of experience. We have hired people straight out of undergrad. People straight out of their grad school who have that, you know, that performance experience, which is super awesome. And then we've also hired people who have 10 years of freelance experience. So there's varying levels of length of experience, but very, very high level of talent and musicianship that is evaluated right from the start. And the reason is there's no tech school, there's no technical school. Like in any other job in the Air Force, you go through basic training and you learn how to be an airman, and then you go to technical school and you learn how to do the job that you signed up for. Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing, because we have too many instruments to do that for. So we hire you saying you are qualified to do this job without a tech school. Yeah. And so all you have to do is learn how to be an airman.
It sounds nerve-wracking to me, just because it's like they're saying there's no net. I mean, granted, you're a team and everyone's there to help you out, sure. But like at the same time, it's like you gotta bring the heat. Probably a dumb question, but if you were nervous at your audition, but like the magnitude of it all, is it like a giant cattle call? Is it a big room with like 8 people judging you just by yourself? Like, what's the actual audition like?
That's a really good question. It can be nerve-wracking, absolutely, because you kind of, hopefully you get to the point where you're like, this is what I want. I know that I want this. So the nerves are just associated with how badly you want to succeed in this day. And you have the one day. Once you get called to do that live audition. You have that one chance for them to see you, hear you, and it be all the stars aligned and it be your best performance ever, you know, in front of these complete strangers in a room that you've never set foot in with other musicians you've never met. Yeah. And so it is, yeah, the nerves are high, but hopefully the adrenaline helps you to quell those nerves and really just focus.
Luckily for me, most of my entertainment's kind of solo, like I'm a MC or a stand-up comedian. But one time I auditioned for an acting role. It's like, oh, we're looking for a tough guy in one of those like car like racing movies, like a Fast and Furious or whatever. So I go, I'll go. I'll show up. And it was the most depressing/surreal thing I've seen. It was like alternate versions of me. There was a tall me, there was a short me, there was a heavyset me, there was a dude with a ponytail that looked like me. Did you find people with like a similar range you did or similar instruments like kind of weird too? Or
actually, you know, funny enough, nobody looked like me, but actually yeah, sure. the audition that I won, I ended up being one of two people who showed up for that audition. And the other young lady who was auditioning, she actually had a date that she was going to basic training. She had already finished the whole process and was waiting just to go to basic training. So she was already qualified to join the Air Force. And I looked at her and I thought, man, she already has an advantage over me because they don't have to wait for her. She's already going to basic training. And so if she's really, you know, if she's really, really good, which obviously she is because she's here, then it'll just be so much easier for them to choose her over me, because with me, then I have to go through the process. I have to start the process of enlisting. And I went through the whole day kind of just feeling like, you know, I wasn't really measuring up to that, but I didn't know what she sounded like or anything like that, and so I had nothing to lose,
right,
except for my own performance, because that's all I had. But I did think, you know, I maybe wasn't the best candidate that day.
Sure.
Until I sat in the commander's office and he came in and said, well, congratulations, young lady, you just got yourself a job. Yeah. So that was, yeah, it's you just never know. You can see other people and you can just tell that they are ready for this. They're really good at doing auditions. They have everything, like their whole process is perfected, and they know how to work through these days.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like that at all. So it was very exciting to actually get and, you know, to win this audition.
How do you keep doubt at bay? Like, I always tell people, like, doubt is like our own mind's body odor. Like, you could take a shower, but every couple days, come back with a vengeance. Like, how do you make sure that, like, hey, look, I have these feelings, these ideas, I'm going to keep pushing forward?
Honestly, I think you just have to know that your desire to succeed is bigger than the doubt. If you doubt yourself so much that you just don't do it, then you lose either way. You're not ever gonna succeed at something that you don't even try to do. So as far as doubt, I doubted that I would get the job over another person because she had all of these things that I, in my mind, made her a better candidate. Mm-hmm. But I also really, really wanted to get this job. I really, really saw myself being in the Air Force as a vocalist and getting to represent my country, represent my family, doing something that I absolutely love and know that I'm good at. And so that was kind of the bigger focus was, I know that I can do this and I know that I'm capable. I doubt that I'll get it, but if I don't this time, I'll just try again, you know? So I don't know,
Absolutely. Kind of
just like knowing that, you know, that you want to do this.
So let's talk about this, like the grand tour of it all. Can you like just give us a bit of a snapshot of the bases you've been on, the teams you've been on, the bands you've been a part of throughout your career?
Yeah, I joined in September of 2014 and I auditioned at Lackland and was actually stationed there first. people normally, when I say I was stationed at Lackland First, they say, oh, I'm so sorry, because that's where U.S. Air Force basic training is. So you go there to go through boot camp, and that's what most people associate Lackland with. So it's kind of an intense place. There are, you know, very scared trainees running around all over the place, marching all over the place. And that's what people think of when they think of Lackland. But the band is also there. I auditioned there, so I knew, you know, that there was a light at the end of that basic training tunnel. And,
say less, fam.
And so I was very excited to be stationed there. It was a wonderful, wonderful assignment. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I was able to PCS to Japan. And I was stationed with the Air Force Band of the Pacific, which is stationed at Yokota Air Base in Tokyo.
Wow.
And I was there for 6 years and 9 months, almost to the day. And wow. Yeah, so that's actually where I've spent the majority of my Air Force career. And that's a whole other podcast, I think, is just talking about that assignment and everything that I got to experience there. And then here at Travis Air Force Base, this is my third assignment. It has been wonderful. I have received the warmest welcome that I never expected from the unit here. The culture here is just so warm and welcoming and inviting, and everybody enjoys working here. So it's really been awesome.
Because I'm incredibly nosy, that trip from Japan to California must have been a mix of emotions, but it must have been crazy going back to the United States to work. It kind of feels like a reverse culture shock, I would assume, at some level.
Actually, yes, it was a reverse culture shock. I didn't stay away from the U.S. the whole time that I was in Japan. I would fly home for the holidays. I've been to the States almost every year that I lived there. However, there was something about moving here and that sort of permanence of, this is not just a visit. I have to find a place to live here. I have to drive here. I have to, you know, be on the other side of the road again, you know, that kind of thing. And just adjusting to not only the culture of being in the U.S., but a different culture of a different state. And so, yeah, it in some ways, I'm still in somewhat of a culture shock even now, and I've been here almost a year.
I've been to Japan 10 days, and I was like, oh, man, back to the United States. I had a jarring look left while crossing the street again. It was a weird thing. So 6 years, can you imagine?
Yeah.
So I did a tour over there at Travis of the space, the Band of the Golden West. Uses about, you have other duties, and then you have to practice on top of that. Can you, like, divulge on some of what those duties are, and how do you do that in a day? It feels like it's only 24 hours to get that done.
There are only so many hours in a day. We do have collateral duties. What I love about this career field so much is that we are a self-sufficient unit. So it's just such an awesome aspect of this career field that enables us to support ourselves in a way that so many other units can't. And what I mean by that is we have in-house, like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like travel agents, but we have an in-house travel shop. So in order to go on a trip for the Air Force, you have to have orders created. And those orders are your document that you carry with you saying, I'm authorized to go on this trip. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm staying. This is how much it costs. This is how long. And all of those things are in this comprehensive document that is generated by this system that most people outside of the band have to go to a special office to have those orders created. Sure. We actually have the ability to create those in-house. So we have all of the details. We have all of the credentials on those websites to create those ourselves because we have such a high tempo of performances in other places where we're going overnight. And we're constantly traveling. And so we can do that ourselves. We also have an in-house social media and publicity shop. That's what I'm a part of. We control all of our posts. We create all of our content that we're posting across all of our platforms, our Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and on our website. We have operations. So the operations shop is actually, they take in the requests that we get online. They, you know, evaluate it. They say, okay, this is the group that's going to do it. And then they give that task to the person in that group who's going to take care of the logistics, figure out who's going to do what, when they're going to go, how much it's going to cost. They do all of the communication with the sponsor who requested us, all of that. So like we have all of the things that we do, all of our performance things, we do all of the support stuff that has to happen before those performances can take place ourselves.
Right.
So it can be a lot, but it's all to enable us to perform. So it's all basically all in a day's work, really.
And so when do you practice? In the mornings, lunchtime, in the evenings?
It depends. In the car? I know. Yes. In the car, in the shower. we have blocks of time in the morning and the afternoon. Most ensembles will rehearse in the morning. And then the afternoon is kind of reserved for doing that kind of like support computer work, as well as possibly having another rehearsal if it's needed, and meetings and stuff like that typically happen in the afternoon. Most of the time we'll rehearse in the morning, and then do admin stuff in the afternoon.
That's just bananas. Well, that's also from the point of way to have a balance there. Talk to me about the being on the road, getting those orders in there, getting things authorized, or going to the different communities, different audiences, different states, different cities. How much of it is tailoring it to what they need versus showing what you're good at, just the bringing the product to them? What's the balance?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Well, so much of what we do is not for us. So that's something that we are always keeping in mind when we're creating concerts, when we're creating set lists and putting shows together. It's always with the audience in mind. It's always with like, okay, what veterans are we going to have? What bases are we near? What community engagement is going on between the Air Force and that area that we're going to? And oftentimes we will talk to the people that we're working with locally where we're going to kind of gauge like, hey, what are you guys looking for? Are we going to schools? If we're going to high schools, we can do a certain type of music. If we're going to elementary schools, Disney, I mean, obviously is going to be a hit, So we definitely do our homework before we go to a place to gauge what is going to reach that audience the most. But we don't do an entire show that's all one type of music. We kind of make it a variety because people like variety. So sure. We try to make it, we put in some classics that we know that everybody likes and everybody will sing along to. And then we do things that are a little more specialized to maybe that area. Maybe it's a part of the state that we're going to that we know like this, if we sing this song, we know that it's going to go over really well. We do try to tailor as much as we can to the area that we're going to and just put in special nuggets that the audience will know is just for them.
Have you ever had a situation where someone calls you or your team or the office and they want your presence but doesn't really know what they want? Bring some stuff. Like what? I don't know. Like do you help with that? Walk them through that? Or
yeah. Actually, that's... I'm sure you get this too as a DJ, but you get people all the time that are like, you're a band, so can you just come and play for this air show and that's it? And that's all that they give. But in preparing for those events, we actually ask more in-depth questions like, hey, are we going to be outside? Are we going to be inside a hangar? Are we going to be on the flight line? Are we going to be playing somewhere inside a building? There are so many different, just location helps to kind of narrow down a lot of things. It answers a lot of questions about like what we should actually play. So a lot of times we do get requests where they're, they say, we just want a rock band to come and play a rock show and for, you know, 4 hours. And that's it. That's all we get. So we have to kind of navigate, you know, how we have the question tree of like, is it this or this? And then, you know, it kind of breaks out into the other branches of like narrowing down what kind of music we're actually going to perform, what show they're actually looking for, what representation they actually want from us. And yeah, so there are a lot of questions that we need to have answered. And that's actually what the operations representative who actually gets the assignment for that band works on. So
actually kind of smart having a question tree, because a lot of times I just get to this back and forth like, play music, what kind? I don't know if you're the DJ. You're like, but there's millions of songs out there.
Yes,
man shakes that cloud. What's it like actually with your team on the road? I assume you travel together and sometimes you may go out to some far out places. Is it like cool vibes? Are you like friends? Is that a loose word to use there? Is it kind of like your professional getting the job done? What's like the temperament amongst your team?
You know, it's different kind of everywhere that you go. I have been on teams where we purely come together to make music. And then when we're kind of in our off time, we go off in ones and twos and kind of have our, you know, our little cliques that we will hang out with. And then I've been in other teams where the entire team of 7 or 8 people is that we're like a family and we just want to be together all of the time. So it kind of, you know, it comes in waves sometimes, you know, depends on how long the trip is. You know, we all get to a point where we're pretty tired and we're ready to go home and we're feeling that fatigue of being on the road. And so we kind of spread apart a little bit. Sure. But for the most part, what really brings us together is our love of music and our love of performing. So that alone is a really big binding quality that we have. And so we tend to, you know, have these, like, we'll have dinner together. We'll hang out together. Sometimes if we're in a city that has a cool tourist attraction or some sort of unique experience that someone else has researched, they'll reach out to the group and say, hey, I want to do this thing. Does anyone want to go with me? And more than likely, at least half the group will do that. So we do some fun things together and we do spend time together. That's not, you know, just in rehearsal and not just on the bus and not just on the stage. Right. And that really draws a group together. It really, those times of not music making really bring us together on stage even more, which is nice.
Absolutely. Here on New Am Sam Radio, we kind of asked our guests kind of a lightning round of smaller questions. Are you down to play? Just a little bit. Not too crazy.
How fast do I have to
answer? As slow as you want to. They're just okay. You can take all the time you want. True or false? No, I'm just kidding. So starting off, did you believe in days off? And if so, what do you do in your days off?
Ooh, I do believe in days off. It kind of depends. Sometimes I need a day off from all interaction. And so I will stay home. I'll clean. I'll watch TV. I'll cook, bake, just do things by myself. And on other days off, I love planning outings. We live in California. It's a beautiful state. There are so many beautiful parks and incredible things to see outside. San Francisco, you know, places like that. So on some days off, I really love like planning to go to a place that I've never been before and explore. And yeah, so two kind of
when you off. When you bake, are you more like breads or like pastries? I'm just a guy who loves food. I don't know.
I love baking cookies. I have like a pretty solid chocolate chip cookie recipe that I use. I like baking brownies. I really like baking things that I can bring into work to share with people and see if they like it and if I should bake it again, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they always say like food is like the Rosetta Stone for cultures, but like definitely baked goods are like the linchpin. You know what I mean? That's like a universal thing, but I will eat them all. No worries. and speaking of, do you have a favorite junk food? And if so, what is it?
Oh, wait.
Salad is not junk food. I had so my, one of my guests are like, oh, sometimes I get celery and peanut butter. I'm like, come on.
No,
I know, right?
Yeah, that for sure doesn't count for anything. No, that doesn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my goodness, what a terrible answer. Okay,
you're with me. I like it.
Yeah, I am. I totally agree. Junk food. I really, really love chocolate. So kind of. I could be in the mood for any type of chocolate thing at any point. Okay. I love Trader Joe's dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I put them in the freezer to make myself eat them slower.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, freezer. Okay. It makes sense.
Yeah. Because if they're just room temperature, then they just immediately melt in your mouth and you can then eat 20 instead of just one. Whereas in the freezer, you know, it's kind of like when you put a dog's like snack toy that has peanut butter, you put it in the freezer to freeze the peanut butter so it makes them eat it slower.
that's what I do to myself. No, it makes sense. Yeah, I probably should use that more, to be honest with you. Pro tip. I learned something new today. What is your favorite time of the day?
Favorite time of the day, probably the evening, just getting to wind down, look back over the day and this is going to sound super cheesy, but kind of look back and figure out what I was grateful for. Like what happened that day that I'm like, I'm really glad that happened or that went really well. Because when I'm going through it, oftentimes I can get so wrapped up in the stressful parts of the day and the things that didn't go so well that when I finally get past it and I'm like home and I'm on the couch relaxing, I can look back and be like, you know what? That moment was actually really great.
Yeah. Is it like a reflection period or do you write it down or?
It's a reflection period. Sometimes I do write it down, but mostly it's just kind of just reflecting.
Yeah, for sure. That's not cheesy at all. I was thinking something way cheesier. What is on your travel bucket list if anything is left?
Travel bucket list. I'd love to go travel in Europe. There are so many beautiful, it's kind of like the U.S. in that different, you know, different states have different geographical wonders and different cultures and different foods and stuff like that. But Europe obviously has even more of that. Right. And so I would love to be able to experience that, like driving from country to country and seeing all the different places there.
And performing or just on vacation mode?
Oh, I would love to be able to perform there. That is the dream.
Yeah, I will say that too. Sometimes I land in a new place, I go, you know what? If I can get a gig here, it'd be awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
And lastly, speaking of gigs, what's been the coolest thing a fan's ever given to you or said to you after a show?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Okay. I've deployed twice to the Middle East, and the first time that I went, I volunteered at the very last minute. It was a crazy fluke thing. It was not a plan for me to go. The team that was going, they needed a vocalist, and so I said, I'll do it. And I ended up deploying over the holidays. We were there from October to January, so we were there for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And Christmas, we spent split between two different countries. We spent actually Christmas Day and Christmas Eve performing for American and German troops in Jordan, which was, amazing. It was an amazing experience. And then a couple days later, they flew us to Iraq. And we went to a really, really tiny Marine post in the middle of nowhere. I still to this day don't have no idea where it is. It had a handful of Army personnel that dealt with all of the logistics on the base. It had a handful of Air Force personnel who dealt with logistics on the flight line. And then the rest of the base were Marine Corps personnel. And they were all security forces related people. So the whole entire post was about security of a perimeter. And so it wasn't, you know, like an easy place to be. It wasn't built up or anything. You had to walk around in the dark at night. We had to land there in the pitch black. It was a very, very, potentially very dangerous place to be. Right. And so I was very excited to be there because I knew that entertainment wasn't something that they get there very often.
Sure.
We did a show. The only venue that they had that was big enough to hold a band and any sort of audience was their dining facility. So we did our rock show in their dining facility. And we went around to kind of advertise for the show. And we took some guitars and a cajon. And we walked around to different offices and we just said, hey, come away from your desks for a minute and we're going to play some music for you and tell you about this show that we're doing later today. And we just want to, you know, blast you with some music and change up your morning a little bit. And at first we were met with kind of like strange looks, like, who are you? Like, what are you even doing here? And, you know, they weren't super receptive. They weren't like cheering or anything when we walked away. But some of the people that we did talk to, they came to our show. And there was this one young man, and I could tell he had to be maybe 20 years old. He was just had a baby face, and we'd been talking to the troops there all day, and realizing, you know, they were all stationed there for 9 months, and they took turns going out to like a really, really isolated post, and they would be there for like 3 weeks at a time, and it was completely isolated. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no any sort of cool place to hang out or anything. Was very, very bare bones. And you could tell that these guys, they were just tired. And I don't think they even really knew that it was Christmas, honestly, except for that we said, Merry Christmas. And their dining facility was decorated. And after that show, this one young guy walked up to me and he said, thank you so much for being here. It felt like just for a little while, we weren't at work anymore.
Yeah.
And of course I, you know, me being sentimental, I was like, you're so welcome. You know,
right.
this is why I do what I do. And I did, I had to walk away from that moment and be like, this is that, that's like the dream of like what I have envisioned being in this job being for. That's it. It was just moments like that of being there for people who don't even remember that it's Christmas, you know, and providing a little slice of home that just for a moment, even if it's just 1 hour, takes them home and lets them relax, you know. So I think that's maybe the best compliment I've ever gotten at a show.
That's fantastic. It's almost like you gave them like an audio baked cookie, you know?
That was
fantastic. Just like home.
Yes. Nice and well, gooey on the inside.
Exactly. Elisa, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate just, you know, just asking about what do you do. It's been fascinating top to bottom. And I hopefully do it more of these in the future. But if someone wants to see you in a concert or connect with you, how do they go about doing that?
Oh yeah, we have a Facebook, we have a website, we post our upcoming events on those pages pretty regularly. We actually, the concert band is actually going to be doing a tour up in Seattle, in the Seattle area, coming up in May. We'll be doing performances from May 8th through the 13th. So that's probably the most upcoming events that we have going on, but all of those things are actually listed on this website, and it's afbandconcerts.com. So if you type in afbandconcerts.com, it lists all of our upcoming events and actually gives you information for how to get tickets at those different venues and, you know, all of the good information that you need to see a show like that.
That's great. Hopefully we'll see you live and we can hang out and say, you know what, you know, talk about the music genre and go on the road, all that cool stuff.
Yes, yeah, that would be awesome. I would love that.
Thanks so much for being on the show and, you know, have a good one.
Thank you as well. Thank you.